Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PQ Cafe Business Series. I'm Morna McEvergolitz, founder and president of the International Association of Professional Quilters at www.professionalquilter.com, and our call today is on becoming press-friendly to promote your business. And I think this is going to be a terrific call with our special guest, Tara Reed. Tara's an artist, and she followed a rather twisting and turning path to get where she is today, which is a mom, an artist who has her own business licensing her art, and also teaching other artists what licensing is all about and how to do it. Tara's an artist by passion, not by education. She has a degree in marketing, and after graduating, she sold college textbooks before starting her family and becoming a stay-at-home mom. Let's jump forward 10 years, and Tara becomes a professional artist. And in 2001, she's designing papers for the scrapbooking industry. Oh, and by the way, she says anyone who makes a dollar is a professional at whatever they do. In 2004, she delved into the wider world of art licensing. And at the same time, she was going through a divorce and had a difficult decision to make. One, take the safe route and get a traditional job with a boss and benefits, or two, continue with her desire to build her own business on her terms. She didn't take the safe route, and in 2008, she founded ArtLicensingInfo.com. This is now a family of websites where she teaches other artists how to earn money licensing their art. In 2009, she created a goal-setting system for artists in business. This is called the Goal Wheel for Artists. And then this month, she released another ebook for artists of all kinds, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. The ebook is called How to Be a Press-Friendly Artist. And Tara has put together a special offer for all our members on the book, and she'll tell us about that later on in the call. I know Tara's really excited to be talking with quilters, since one of her favorite things to design is quilting fabric. She works with South Sea Imports and has created more than 17 lines in the past 4 years. So I hope she has time to maybe tell us the names of some of those lines, and we can check our own stash and see if we own some or look for it at the local shops. Welcome, Tara.
Well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. I think this is going to be a really fun conversation for me, particularly since I've been on both sides of the press release for many years, as an artist and a journalist, jumping back and forth as the years have gone by. So why don't we just dive right in? Why do you think many artists are so hesitant about actually creating a news release program for themselves?
I think a lot of the problem is that they find it intimidating. From artists that I've talked to, and as I was telling you before we got on the call, I'm in the middle of doing a lot of this stuff that we're going to talk about tonight because I'm going to a trade show. So I'm writing press releases and getting press kits together and everything, and I have a lot of artists that are emailing me panicked about it. And they're like, I don't know what to write. I don't know how to do it. I think many of them feel intimidated by the writing process of it. They prefer to play with line, form, and color than letters and words. I think they're often intimidated by the format because there is a specific format that a press release takes, and sometimes people feel like, I don't know how to do it, so I'm not going to do it. They kind of get this wall up. But once you learn how to do it, I find comfort in the formula because you can just make a template and then you can go forward, and we'll talk about that. I also think a lot of people aren't sure what to say, or they don't feel newsworthy. I think press stuff hits people's good enough button. They feel like, oh, I'm not as good as that person who was mentioned in the magazine. Like, I'm okay, but I'm not worthy of being on a website or being interviewed, on something like this. So it kind of hits that confidence button, too. But you've been in journalism, too. Do you kind of agree with that, or what do you think?
Well, yes, and I think what's really funny is that when people feel like, oh, they can't do it or they're not going to be picked, the only difference between them being picked for news coverage and somebody else is that somebody else sent in the press release.
Exactly.
And I found that most newspapers really print what they get, and they're all starved for news. And the only way they get it is if somebody sends a press release. And I think this is particularly even more true today when news staffs are leaner. There just aren't as many people to be out looking for stories. So if you send yours in, you have a much better shot.
Showing up is half the battle.
I know many artists feel that they need some kind of special connection to the press or knowledge to be picked up. Is it really that hard to get mentioned in the press? And then is it worth the effort if you don't know somebody at the paper?
No, it is not that hard. And even when I started in licensing my art, I remember a lot of people saying that, including my parents. They were very nervous about me choosing this path when I was in the middle of getting divorced and going through all of this flux. And they were like, are you sure you want to do this? You don't know people. You know, you're not connected. We don't know people. They felt like for licensing, you needed to be really connected as well. And I think that connection thing, it's a common fear, and it's also a common excuse. It's easier to say, oh, well, I don't have connections, so I didn't succeed, rather than try. You know, some people are just so afraid to try, that's an easy excuse to latch onto, like, oh, I don't have the connections. I had no magical connections with the press or with licensing, but I just started doing it. I started sending out press releases and offering my information to anybody that would listen. And now, a few years later, I'm regularly asked to contribute to trade magazines in my industry. I've written several articles, and they're just thrilled that I'll write them, especially because I'll write them for free, because it's good advertising for my online business. So really, just like you were saying, they need information, and so it's not like you have to have some fairy dust to sprinkle over you for the press to pick you. If you have something newsworthy, and we'll talk about what's newsworthy in a few minutes, but if you have something newsworthy, then they're going to want to talk to you. And if they contact you and you respond quickly and you're helpful, then they're going to remember you and come back to you again, because everybody wants to work with people that they like and that they can trust to give them the information so that they can get their job done.
Well, it reminds me of the saying that what makes somebody an expert is they're the person from out of town. And here, mm-hmm. what's making you the expert is you're actually sending the news to the source. And now you're on their list, and you're their expert now.
Yes, yeah. And I do a lot of blogging, which also helps with that expert. You know, I blog a lot about art licensing, so now the press is like, oh, well, other people are reading her stuff, so we might as well print her stuff because we know they'll read it. So that's another thing that I hadn't even thought about, totally inspired. If you blog about what you do, it makes you look that much more of the expert if the journalist goes to your website. Like, oh, okay, they know what they're talking about.
Oh, exactly.
So, yeah.
It's all connected. Now, you talk about several things an artist can do to be press friendly, from press releases to press kits and lots of things that they can add to their website. Where's the best place to start?
Well, that is an excellent question, because when I was writing this ebook, I wanted it to be really inclusive. I wanted it to be pretty much everything an artist needs to do anything they want to do with the press. So I wanted to teach them the format for press releases, how to make them, what a press kit is, how to do different kinds of press kits, what they can do to their website. And then I sent the book out to a few artists to review, and two of them came back in a complete panic. I can never do this. Oh, my gosh, this is so overwhelming. It's too much. And I had to say, you don't have to do it all today, because apparently they were a little bit like me. When I learned something, I just want it all implemented magically.
Right.
So what I told them, I'm like, look, this is a book that is going to serve you over the years. I did not sit down and say, I'm going to start being good with the press and create all of this in a day. It was a process over a few years. The best place to start, in my opinion, and where I started, was by regularly sending out press releases, because it's getting your name in front of people over and over and over.
Now, when you say regular, Do you mean once a month, once a quarter? Do you set a calendar? How do you keep track of this?
You know, that it that depends a lot on what you're doing. And because you want to get your name in front of people regularly, but you don't want to waste their time either. So there are some times where I might have a press release once a month or twice a month. And other times, and that's more on the information side of my business where I'm teaching about art licensing. I do a lot more press there because I'm doing phone calls with experts, or we have new ebooks coming out, or we have events coming up. So it's more easily pressworthy. On the art side of my business, I tend to be quarterly. I could probably pump that up, and I'm going to start taking my own advice and looking every month on my calendar, putting it as a to-do, and saying, has anything happened in the past month that's coming up in the next month that the press would want to know about? You know, am I speaking anywhere? Have I gotten a new licensing contract? Is new product coming out into the stores? So, you know, those are the things that you want to write about.
Okay, so for the people on the call, a good thing for them to do, I'll call it homework, is to go back and on their calendars pick one day a month, and I'm just going to pick, you know, the first Monday of the month and put something on the calendar that says, should I send a press release this month?
Yeah. So
that they can think, was there something that, you know, is happening this month or something that just happened that's newsworthy that I can send out? And then it puts them on a schedule so they start to think about it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's half the battle. You can have great intentions, like they might get off this phone call all energized, like, okay, I'm going to be press friendly, and they do a bunch of things for a week, and then they totally forget about it. But if you put it on your calendar and it kind of, you know, bings up on your computer in a month or 6 weeks, then they're like, oh, okay, well, this just happened, or this is coming up, so let me do it again. Another thing I wrote in my notes is a lot of people are becoming a lot more web savvy. And so they understand that having a website and having a blog that has good keywords, like if you're a fiber artist, if you're blogging and you regularly use the words fiber art, then Google is going to find you, and Yahoo and Bing and all the search engines, and they're going to say, oh, this person talks about the keywords fiber arts a lot. And I believe that press releases are similar. You know, the more you're sending them out with certain topics, the more the press is going to think of you in relation to that topic.
Okay, so remember keywords when you're writing your press release.
Yes.
And blogging, so that you become known as the go-to person for your topic. Okay, now, why don't we jump into writing a press release? Why don't you give us a few tips that take the mystery out of writing a really good press release?
Okay. Well, the best tips I can give you are mental. It's kind of the way you think about it. Sometimes when people start thinking about press releases, they get excited about what they're doing. And so they think, okay, so they look at the calendar and it says, do you have anything pressworthy? And they say, oh, yeah, you know, last month I donated some art to – I'm going to make this up. I donated art to the local school auction, and it sold for this amount, which raised money to help them get a new gym, right? So that's exciting. But you don't want to write it all about you. Like, I did, you know, I donated this, and this is what the art's all about. You want to always think from the reader's perspective. So if you've donated art to a school in a local area, you're likely to be picked up in a local newspaper, in the school newsletter, something local, or a blog about the local area, maybe the school blog, something like that. You're not going to necessarily be in the Wall Street Journal for donating a picture to your local school. So you need to think about the people that are going to be reading those things, and you're going to have to think about why do they care? Ask yourself, so what? Say something, say, oh, I donated art. So what? Who cares? Like, act like the jerk who lives down the street. Who cares that you donated art? And every time you write something, give it a so what until you get to the meat of it. You want to answer the big W's and the H, like who, where, why, what, when, and how. Like, who's involved? Hopefully it's always going to be you, since it's your press. You know, where did this thing happen? Why did it happen? What happened? When did it happen? How did it happen? If you can answer those things and you can answer the question, so what, then you're going to have some good content. The other key thing is to write a good headline. Because if you don't have, and you can confirm if my theory on this is right or wrong, my theory is people get a lot of press releases. And so if you write a boring headline, they might not go any further than the headline.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So kind of like if you look at magazines, especially National Enquirers or, you know, the real tabloid magazines, they are fabulous at writing good headlines that make you want to pick up that magazine. And I talk a bit about this, but some of the ways to make a really good headline are they can't resist a list. You know, if you go look at any women's magazine, every single cover has a list of some sort. 5 ways to please your man. 6 tips to get your toddler to listen. You know, if it's a parenting magazine, who doesn't want to get their toddler to listen? And oh my gosh, you're going to tell me 6 ways to make this happen? I'm picking this magazine up. You can also, you know, artists could use that in 5 tips to connect with collectors online. What artists aren't wanting to figure out how to connect with their audience more effectively online? Or 3 artists collaborate to beat breast cancer. That's intriguing to me. Like, oh, what did they do? How did they do that? How did it work out? Maybe I'll do that. How to is another great way to write a headline. And if you go to my website, you will see that most of my ebook titles start with how to, including this one, How to Be a Press-Friendly Artist, because it tells you exactly what you're going to learn and that you're going to learn something. You're not going to just get, you know, a fluffy feel-good, oh, think about this, you know, type of a thing. You're going to learn how to do something. One of my favorite movies, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Right.
That's compelling. I mean, that's compelling in several ways. It's how to. It's got 10 days, so we know how long it's going to be. And lose a guy? Normally, we're looking to get a guy. We're not looking to lose a guy. So it's intriguing, which is another thing that you can do with headlines. And then the final thing that I like to play with headlines is unusual comparisons. Those are very intriguing. One of the examples I put in the book is what your child has in common with the schoolyard bully. What parent wants to believe that their child has anything in common with the schoolyard bully? So that headline will play on fear, and it will make parents look at it because they're afraid that it might be true. And the parents are hoping that they read it and say, oh, phew, my child's not that child. Artists can play with that, and they can just make a really weird comparison, like what artist Jane Doe has in common with dung beetles? Who thinks about artists being compared to dung beetles?
Right. I think today we could compare ourselves with stink bugs, but
yeah.
If you live on the East Coast, you probably don't have stink bugs.
No, I haven't heard about the stink bugs.
Oh, they're just all over the East Coast, and you can't get rid of them. And I think if somebody did a comparison, it would draw people's attention.
Okay, yeah.
But right, I mean, I like the point. What you're doing is you're making, with your headline, you're making people curious about what's further down in the content, and so they're going to read it.
Right. And if you do a great headline on your press release, you're going to get the journalist to read it, and then they might just take that, you know, okay, well, let's just plop that right into our information because it got me to read, so now they might even just use your headline and give you some press.
Right.
So those are some of my basic tips for good press releases. Or did you want, I mean, I don't know, I don't think we really want to go into all the formatting stuff by phone.
No, but we could just say that there's a basic format to writing a press release.
Yeah.
And you can find that pretty much anywhere. You put your contact information at the top. You say for immediate release. You have a date if
headline.
That, well, yeah, the headline. And then we already talked about that it has the who, where, what, why, when, and how. And that goes into the actual content. And the content needs to be newsy. You need to have a reason for writing the press release. And the more newsy it is, the more the journalist who gets it will be interested in it. And then I think that your name sticks with the journalist, and if you continue to send press releases, if they're newsy, they'll remember that. If they get lots of fluffy press releases and you send them something that they recognize your name, and they're going to think, oh, it's that fluffy person again, and they don't necessarily read it.
And actually, just a great example just came to mind. I have a friend who does a lot of writing. He writes for like American Express Online. He writes for SCORE. He writes for a lot of different online publications and some local publications. And he was telling me that recently somebody asked him out to lunch. So he thinks this is a social lunch. It's not a social lunch. It was first a pitch for a multi-level marketing company. Very unhappy about, because he thought he had made it clear at poker that he was really not interested in changing careers or doing a multi-level. So he told the guy, like, no, don't tell me about this. I am not even 1% interested. I am 0% interested. And then the guy changed his tactic, and he said, oh, well, would you, what about writing a story about me? Like, will you write a story about me? And the guy just looked at him like, well, what am I going to write about you? Why would I write about you? Because I'm not writing about your multi-level business because I'm not interested in that. So why on earth would I write about you? And it just left a really bad taste in my friend's mouth, who, you know, is a journalist, and he'll be afraid to go out with this guy other than seeing him at poker. And, you know, he's pretty much not going to give him any press because he just wanted it. It was purely for his own gain that he wanted press to build his business. And of course we all want press to build our business, but we have to give news that is of interest to the people reading.
It's really like
fine line.
Yeah, it's really like with any kind of marketing that we do, we need to look at what's in it for the person who's reading it, not what's in it for us. And if we're providing a service, in the end it comes back to help us, but our thought should be what we're doing for other people.
Right.
Now let me ask you how long you think a press release should be.
I abide by the one-page rule.
Okay.
I think that, you know, they're busy, and the press release is supposed – I think the goal is to get the basic information across and get them to contact you. I don't think the goal of a press release is to pre-write a column for somebody. It's so that they know what's going on. They can either release it as a snippet of news, or they can contact you for more information.
Right. And that would be great, because then maybe they really would do a feature story on you.
Yeah.
Now, we've written the press release, and it's ready to go. How do we go about, well, first, even finding the names that we should be sending it to, and then how do we get it to the places that should get it?
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good question, because you don't want to be sitting with this fabulous press release and then say, great, where do I send it now? But there are tons and tons of ways to figure this out. You can look in magazines. You can probably hear me flipping through this magazine. I meant to have it open. Usually in the first few pages of a magazine, I'm in the Oprah magazine, and it's on page 12, there is a list of everybody involved in the magazine, and it tells you who, you know, it gives you names of the editorial interns, the editors, the art directors, the book editors. So you can look in actual publications. You can also look online. A lot of times online, they will also have an email address for the person. So you have to put on your investigator hat to figure out exactly when you want. That's when you want to pinpoint who your information is going to. You can look in the publication where you think your news will fit. You can go online, and almost every magazine has a website that will also list that information. So I usually email. I have a list for my industry, and I've been building it over time of media contacts. And so I created in my address book on my computer a group called Art Licensing Press. So whenever I have a press release, I send it to myself, and I blind copy all of those journalists because I don't want them to know everybody that I'm sending my press release to. And then I send it. I also always, if I'm sending a press release by email, I always include a high-resolution photo, too, just in case. I have sent press releases, and the basic information and the photos have ended up in a magazine, and I don't know until the magazine comes out. So you want to make sure it's just all ready to go.
Now, would you send a photo of yourself and your work, or how many photos would you send?
It depends on the press release. If it's a press release about me, like about my art business, I have a headshot that I use pretty standardly, and so I always include that, and then I might include one or two images. Sometimes you'll get on a list with different editors, and they'll have calls for art, so they might say, oh, you know, our next issue is coming up if you want to submit, and they'll tell you how many. I just did one recently, and they said, you know, send me four or five things. So I certainly did. I certainly sent five. Always send as much, because then your chances of being picked. Another place that is good to distribute is to use an online distribution service. You know, use the power of the internet. There are lots and lots of places online where you can submit your press releases either for free, or some of them you might pay $100 or $200. I will admit to never having done that personally.
Okay.
Because I feel like my news is too niche to merit $200. But, you know, it's not going to make it into the Wall Street Journal. But I have a friend who is in PR, and she's like, oh, it's only $200. I had my client do it, and he got in the Wall Street Journal and the Chicago Times. I'm like, yeah, but I can't remember what the company was. But it was a more broad appeal.
Right. I mean, we have to think about what it is that we do, and is our customer – going to be reading the Wall Street Journal looking for
right.
what we do?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you use, and in the ebook, I talk a lot about prlog.org. That is a service that I use, and it's free. And it basically puts your press release on the internet. And so you're playing with keywords again, because when you submit your press release, you enter keywords. So then the robots will find it, and it helps people find you through your press release. They also submit their information using the keywords a lot too, to different press outlets. So, you know, you could end up in the Wall Street Journal if they were looking to do like an art piece or whatever, but I'm kind of all for the free online distribution services.
I am too. And I think probably our listeners are too, and it's certainly a place to start. And if you find that you want to expand from there, great.
Yeah.
You also talk in your book about press kits and the fact that you can have a digital press kit or a physical press kit. And why would you need one over the other, or do you really need both?
You know, it really depends on who you are and what you're doing as to whether you need one, the other, or both. As I mentioned, I'm knee-deep in all this press stuff because I'm going to exhibit at Certex, which is a trade show for art licensing next month. And it is a physical trade show in New York, and one of the things that they have at the show is a press room. And I used to be a member of the press, and I loved a press room because not only did they give me free food and a place to leave my jacket, but and a seat to sit in if I got tired, but then I could also, while I was sitting there having my muffin, look through the press kits and see who was at the show. And it helped me to decide, oh, I really want to make sure I see this company. So if you're going to be at an event or at a trade show where they do have a room or an area for the press and you can do a press kit, I absolutely encourage you to create a physical press kit. And when I mean physical, I mean you're going to print it out. It's going to be something people can touch, hold, feel, take home, put in, you know, carry around with them. Now, notice I said carry around with them, so you need to be careful if you're doing it for a trade show, how you make it. I was a contributing editor for Simple Scrapbooks magazine in the craft industry in early 2000s, and I would go to CHA where it was all artists. Press kits, and so they were some of the most amazing press kits you ever did see, because we are very clever and creative people in how we try and attract attention. And one company put their press kit in a pizza box, and it was really cool, but nobody took it, because who wanted to walk around a trade show all day carrying a pizza box?
So they didn't
think through that part. You know, there's another reason you might do a physical press kit is if you wanted to mail it to somebody. Like if you thought about your business and you thought, you know what, this, if I could be published in this magazine, it would make my year. Like this would be the ultimate coup, you know, for me to get in this magazine, or this is where I feel like if I would be a great fit, I would have good information for the readers, and that those readers would be interested in me and my business. You might do a physical kit and mail it to their editor or to their press person, because they're probably getting a lot more email submissions than they are pretty packages on their desk. That's when you get more creative and do the pizza box, because they don't have to carry it anywhere.
I've gotten 2 physical products, so to speak, with the kit. And one was I'd received a book to review, and it was still in the stack because the stack's mile high. And somebody sent me a press release about the book, and she included a finished block. It was on curved piecing, and along with an explanation of how to do it. And I thought, wow, well, this moved that book out of the bottom of the stack, and I went and looked for it and reviewed it. Then I also got a sample of a pattern, and a lot of people know the humbug bag pattern by Nancy Restuccia. When she first came out with that, here arrives this little priority mailbox at my house with my finished humbug bag in it with the pattern and a press release. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. We don't review patterns, but I sure did like getting the product. And it made her press release stand out from all the others I got.
Okay. See, so there's living proof that it works, but there's also living proof that you really need to target who you do your bells and whistles for.
Exactly.
Because you really liked it, but you weren't the right target market for it because you don't review kits. So she really kind of wasted her time sending that to you.
Right? Oh, right. She did. I mean, it made me know more about her name, but I wasn't going to review her product.
Right. Yeah, so it's really important to make sure when you do decide to do those grand gestures, they're like grand gestures in dating, you know, you want these grand wooing gestures for the press. Make sure you woo the right people.
Now, I know, we in our media kit, we're going to have press releases and a bio and pictures and contact info and things like that. Now, if we can set up on our computer the information and just print it off. Do we do the same thing if it's digital? We just create a file, and then when somebody asks for it, we just zap it to them?
Yep. Okay. I basically create the same information. Sometimes I have even more images in a digital press kit, and I just save it as a PDF so that I can mail it. I can email it to people, and I also, and we'll talk about this, I also have a page on my website that is designed for the news. So if the press happens to come across my website because I have good keywords and they're actually searching for something, then we're going to talk about that in a minute. But then it's there and it's ready for them, because if your website is open 24/7, you might as well have the information that they might want.
Right. And that is what I want to ask about next. And I want to say one of the things I really loved about your book was that you compared press releases to website terms. You said the blog is like the press release, and because all those posts, like press release posts on your blog, rest on your website, that then becomes your media kit. So that was really a wonderful way of looking at it. So that brings up the question, should we do something special with our website so it's more press friendly?
Yes, I believe we should. And I want to just clarify, because you had an interesting way of saying it. At first I was like, what? Oh, I know what she means. Basically what she's saying is your website becomes your media kit, because if you've designed your website well, it should have all the information on it that you would include in a media kit. You should have information about yourself. You should have contact information. You should have press type things. So all of the elements that you're going to put into your press kit, be it physical or digital, should pretty much be there. And then you can just add a couple other things. But I took my website, took an extra step with it about a year ago when I was talking to my friend that I told you was in PR and thinks $200 is nothing to spend on a press release. But she has different clients than me. But she said, oh, you have so much good news stuff and you're getting good coverage, you should create a newsroom. So I have both a newsroom page and a press page on my website. Previously, I only had a press page, which was kind of an encyclopedia. So it was social proof that I was pressworthy. It showed where I had already been covered. So it showed where I'd been quoted or articles that I'd written, but it was all in the past. So that's kind of what I consider my press page. But my newsroom is the page that is designed for people like you, Orna, that are looking for information. And so it has my contact information. It has some photos. It has like a high-resolution photo that the press is free to click, download, and use in any way that they want to. It has some testimonials from customers. It has a quote from me because the press loves quotes. It also has, and this is one of the reasons I like PRlog.org as my online distributions service, is they give you the capability of creating a widget that you can put onto your web page. So I found the code. I put the code onto my website once, and now every time I upload a new press release to PRlog, it automatically shows up on my newsroom page. So they're always seeing the latest news from me, and I don't have to think about it. And I love as much as I can do that I don't have to think about and that gets automated, because we all probably wear way too many hats in our
right. Business. Oh, that's great. And I love calling it the newsroom page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was her idea, and she's like, you know, do this. And so it's designed to say, okay, if you are the press, I want to make it really easy for you to learn about me. And then I have a link for them to download the PDF of my digital press kit. And I have a great example of how you just never know. I have a website called printyourownbunko.com. And Bunko, if you don't know, is a game. It's a dice game. It's like a social game for women to get out of the house and play. And so I created this website where they can buy digital downloads of Bunko kits that have interesting art on them. Because if they buy them in a store, they pretty much just have dice on them and say Bunko, and they're pink, black, and white. But I've created different themed ones. And I did a pretty good job with the SEO and, you know, Bunko and Bunko kits and free Bunko kits. So I was getting good Google rankings. And I had a spot on there that said, you know, media, this is what I do, here's my contact information. And one day, out of the blue, I get a phone call from Women's World Magazine. And they wanted a quote, and they wanted to use my art in Women's World Magazine the next month. And it was absolutely because I had built a well-optimized website and had the information on the website for her to find me and know that I had what she needed because she was on a tight deadline. So that's a pretty cool success story.
Oh, yeah.
My only foray into national media that isn't trade press.
Because we don't want to call it the only foray, the first.
The first, yes. My entree, my debut.
Right. You know, I actually did see that site on Bunko. I had a friend who played Bunko, and I don't know why I ended up there, but I thought, oh, this is cool. So I told her about it, but then she told me she'd stop going to the socials there. When we send out a press release, should we follow up with the person that we sent it to?
You know, when you sent me that question, I thought that was a very interesting question. I often don't, but I probably should. I'm probably doing all this work and then, you know, stopping short of the goal line. Why I got a sports analogy there, I'm not sure, because I'm not a sports person. But, you know, I think that really, it really depends. And there have been times where I follow up. Like if there is an editor that I have built a relationship with, and that's what you really want to do with these publications that you really like and feel that you're a good fit with, is build a relationship where you're helpful, you get to know them, you become, you know, you become a little more than just I'm sending press releases to this name. So sometimes when I get just that cattle call, as I like to call it, where it's a general, she sends it to, you know, she sends this call for information to a million artists, I'll send in my information, and then a lot of times I will either pick up the phone or I'll send a follow-up email. Hey, just wanted to touch base. Make sure you got my information. As always, don't hesitate to contact me if you need anything else. But what would you say, like in your experience, do most people follow up? Do you like it when people follow up? Does that give an advantage?
Very few people follow up, and I'm thinking that I mean, I've had some people follow up. Mostly it would be, I'll say, book publishers who send me books to review, and it's with the press release. And they'll follow up and say, you know, did you get this? I actually got a call, let me see, like a week and a half ago from somebody. She told me her first name, and she wanted to make sure I was the right person to send the press release to. It was involving a celebrity, and she just wanted to be sure it would get to the right place. She wouldn't tell me anything more. Oh. And I said, well, who are you with? She couldn't tell me that either. So then I got a phone call from her saying, I'm just following up to make sure you got the press release. And what's interesting is I didn't get the press release. But in the phone call, she gave me enough information, and it was about, it's about Jeff Gordon, the NASCAR driver, and his involvement with, I think at the program is pertussis. It's a, I think it's a breathing disorder, and pertussis.org, and they're making a digital quilt. So she made all the, she made a pre-call, and then she followed up again to make sure I got the information. So it stuck in my mind more. And I think in some cases I like to have the follow-up, and it would move the item to the top of the pile. If everybody followed up, it would drive me nuts.
Yeah. Well, it was also interesting because her pre-call created interest because she was kind of mysterious about it. So you were probably looking, like, is this going to be the press release that talks about a celebrity? Who's a celebrity? What's going on? So I'm sure that was quite intentional.
Right. So, I mean, she had a whole plan there. But I think the follow-up was great. And I do think if, depending on what you're sending out, I mean, I'll be sending out a press release later this month that announces our Teacher of the Year to quilt magazines. There's no need to follow up. They're either going to print it or they're not going to print it.
Right.
So I guess it depends on what it is. But I think, on the local press, I think sometimes it would be nice if you followed up with your local paper. Not like if I sent something to the Washington Post, I wouldn't follow up. But we have a local, it's the Gazette in this area. I would follow up with them and say, you know, did you get the release? Can I give you any more information?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I recently, there's a big debate right now about whether bloggers are press or not. And, you know, professional bloggers feel that they should have all the same rights as traditional press. And in some ways they probably should because they have more clout and draw to a very specific market. But it's kind of interesting. I got a pre-release copy of Guy Kawasaki's new book, Enchantment. And I love watching how he markets stuff because I have okay readership. I have good readership in my niche, but my blog is very niche-y. So I thought it was interesting that somebody at that level was willing to give me a book, but I was also more likely to write about it because I'm not getting as many free review books for things. And then after I had it, about 4 days before, you know, I got an email about 4 days before the book was going to hit. Have you read it? Have you talked about it? We hope you have. And then about a week or two after, he sent an email thanking everyone for their help, and it had a link to all the places he knew that had written about his book. And he's like, if you don't see your blog or your publication on here, please send me an email and let me know so I can add it, because he was putting it on his website. Great links. You know, that's great for your SEO to get linked to his website. So I sent mine. I was like, oh, I didn't see mine, but here's, you know, the link to the blog post I did about your book. Really enjoyed it. And he sent me, it looked like a personal email back from him.
Oh, right. That
was. Yeah.
You know, that happened to us when I reviewed, now I can't think of the name of this book, Joel Kahn, who writes about Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
He posted on my blog, and I thought, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I know it helped probably bring somebody in at that one point that they didn't know about me. So anything out there helps you get coverage, really.
Yeah.
Let's see, we still have a little bit of time, and I don't know if we have any questions from the people on the call. So I think what I'll do is open the lines up and see if we have any questions. And if not, I still have several more I can ask, but let's see. So let me unmute the call. And then if somebody has a question, we'll stop talking and let you ask your question.
I have a question.
Sure, and tell us who this is.
This is Denise Clayson. Hi,
okay.
Tara.
Hi.
I couldn't hear which website you posted your press releases on that was free. What was the name of it again?
It's PR, like P as in Paul, R as in Reed, my last name, log, L-O-G, dot org, O-R-G.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I haven't tried that, but it's now on my list.
Okay. Yeah, and in the ebook, I talk about it, and then I have several appendices. I decided when I was putting the book together, I thought, okay, I'm going to give the information everybody needs to know, and then I'm going to put the how-to, like this really specific how to do different things in appendices. So there's like sample press releases, and then there's screenshots of how to get set up on prlog.org, step by step, how to submit the press releases, because it's kind of confusing at first, and I always find if I can see what I'm in for before I actually go there, it's less stressful, and I can be prepared. So there's lots of different appendices like that in the ebook.
Well, I like that, and actually you don't know this, but I'm reviewing the ebook in our weekly e-zine that comes out on Wednesday, and that was one of the things I like is that it's got so much, I call it a blueprint. It really does tell you step by step. And for those of you who decide to get the ebook, what I did with mine, and I told Tara this already, is when I printed it off, I comb-bound it so that I can open it flat now. And you could do the same thing with the three-ring clips. But that makes it really easy to use. So does anybody else have a question they'd like to ask?
Wow, we must have covered everything.
Oh, I think so. Well, let's talk a little bit about, and if somebody does have a question, just jump in on us. One of the things that you mentioned and we talked about was including photos with your press release. Do you have any tips you want to share on taking good photos?
Yes.
Or what kinds of photos? Yeah.
Compelling. I have a whole chapter called Create Compelling Images for the Press. And, you know, I think it's really important for an artist to have a good headshot. If you go to any of my websites, you're going to see the same picture of me. You're going to see, like, the picture I'm holding my paintbrushes. I use it in social media. I use it on all my different websites. Not because I'm too lazy to take different pictures or don't like variety, but I do it very strategically because it creates recognition. It's part of my brand. So getting a good headshot is really important. People like to work with and buy from people that they know, like, and trust. And they're going to feel like they know you more if they see your face somewhere. Don't always hide behind your art. I know a lot of artists on Twitter will have their art, which is really cool, because then I can kind of see quickly, I'm a big tweeter, I can see quickly what they do and what their style is, but I don't feel as connected to them as the people who show me their face. I feel like I'm talking to them. And I talk about the ways to get a great headshot, and the key trick to that is take a ton of pictures. Luckily, we live in a digital age now. Like, we don't have to take 24 photos and take it to Costco and get them printed and see how they turn out. And, you know, like, it's not as expensive. Pixels are cheap. When I had my son take my headshot, this past one, we took 65 pictures to get one that I liked, that I was happy with, like where I was leaning right, my hand was right, I liked how my eyes were open, I didn't have a dorky smile. So, you know, you don't have to go get a professional photograph. You just have to have somebody to click the button. You want to kind of decide where you want to be and how you want to be lined up. And literally my son, I said, do I look okay? Like, should I move? And he said, I am not Austin Powers. You're going to have to self-direct. So we just kept shooting and shooting and shooting until I got something. And then I'd look and I'm like, nope, hate that, don't like the light. So we'd move and we'd shoot again. So having a good headshot that you can include on websites and include with your press releases and things, I think is really important. Another thing that is important that I'm not quite as good at is try and get some good pictures of yourself working. I'm pretty good at getting people to take my picture in a store when I find one of my products, because I think that's so much fun to visit my art and stuff.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm not really good at having pictures of me painting or working at my computer or, like, in my space. People want to know what your space looks like. We're all voyeurs at heart, whether we want to admit it or not. But that's why reality TV is so popular. We want to see what people do and how they live and where they create. I mean, there's whole magazines about it, Where Women Create. I don't know if it's like monthly or what, but we want to see that. So make sure you have that kind of thing available as well. And then, of course, have good images of your art. So that may or may not be photographs. Like, I don't have to photograph my art because I paint it, I scan it, and then I play with it on the computer. So I just have to save it to a good size for people to use. But if if you're a quilter, you're going to need to learn how to take a good photo of your quilt, so it doesn't look like, somebody threw it across the bed, because half of what sells publications and gets people to read is having an image that grabs people, that says, wow, that is gorgeous. I want to learn more about that. Who made it, or what's it for, et cetera, et cetera. So pictures are very important.
Right, and good lighting, one of the key things to do with your pictures. And you're definitely right about just the advantages of digital cameras these days. We can just take shots to, a million shots and look for the right one. One thing that I was told as far as getting a good headshot, I actually had a professional do mine, and she also talked about taking lifestyle shots to populate, like, your Facebook page or whatever, or maybe some on your website too, but to really stick with that one headshot and to think about what the image is that it's portraying. And just like you did that with the paintbrush, that's part of what your brand is, and to think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That picture, this is the second time I've done that same pose. I did it about 2 years ago, and I've changed my hair, and people are like, you need to update. But people really responded to the paintbrushes, because it's really easy to see, oh, she's an artist, because she's holding paintbrushes. You often see pictures of musicians holding their instrument, because it's quick recognition about what you do.
I was told that you should probably get new headshots done every few years, and feel like I like the one I have now. I don't think I want to show my age in a couple more years.
But you might be surprised, because I didn't want to change for that same reason. I was like, oh, I just really like that. I think it really captures me. But then we did the new one, and I'm getting a lot of comments like, oh, I really like, they like my new hair. They think it's, really cute. So people are noticing that it's different. Nobody said, dang, you're not aging well.
Yeah. I think we all look better as we age. So let me check and see if anybody has any questions that's listening. I know we've given our members lots of really good information, and we're going to talk. Well, why don't we go ahead and you share the special offer that you put together. This is really a gift that Tara put together for the members of the IAPQ. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, I wanted to give everybody, just a little special offer if they listen to this and were excited to get more of the information. So I created a special web page that is just for you that will get you a discount on the ebook. And it is, and you're going to send that out in your newsletter.
Right. Right, yeah.
Okay. But it is www.pressfriendlyartist.com/quilters/. So the Mixed Media and Fiber Artists are just going to have to forgive me, because if I put all of that in the URL, you would inevitably spell something wrong. So I just did quilters so that we could all remember it easily. So if you go to that page, you can learn more about the ebook that we've been talking about, that gives you all the, step-by-step how to do the press releases, the press kits, how to get signed up on PR Log. And normally the ebook sells for $27, but we're going to give you a $5 discount for being part of this group, and so it would be $22 through that link. And hopefully you will find it helpful. Another thing that one of my clients has decided to do is she's decided that she wants to outsource a lot of her press stuff. She's like, you know, it's a great idea, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to have to do all this and remember all this. So she took the ebook and she's giving it to somebody that's going to help her. She has a friend that loves to write and that keeps asking, how can I help you with your business? How can I help you with your business? So she basically handed her this ebook and said, this is how you can help me. This is what I want to do. I want to get set up on PR Log. Here's the information. So somebody else can use it as a blueprint to help her with her business. So
that's a great idea. In case any of our members want to think about getting an intern for the summer or they have an assistant, this would be a great way to get you set up and just get a program for sending out the releases.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, because there's a lot of information in there about to help you set up templates so that you will be able to set up a template for your press releases. So all you'll need to change is the headline, the date, and the content. You won't have to change the about your business. You won't have to change, you know, you won't have to write for immediate release every time. It'll show you what you should do to get set up. It'll also show you how you can take that information from a Word document and have it set up to cut and paste to submit to PR Log. So there's a lot of blueprint stuff in there. That's a great word. I like it.
Yeah, that was the first thought I had when I read it. It's like a blueprint. So now let me just ask you, like I said, we've given our members lots of information. When they get off the phone, what's the first thing they should do if they want to get started becoming more press friendly?
Well, I think that the first thing they should do is go to pressfriendlyartist.com/quilters/ to learn more about the ebook. And I think they should sit quietly and think about what they have done at any time in their career that they could have written a press release about. And if they kind of go blank sitting quietly, then go grab a magazine that you love, perhaps Professional Quilter, and look at what they're writing about and where could you have contributed. So you need to start thinking about your business and what you're doing and what would be and how you could make that information that the press would be interested in. And then
okay.
Learn the steps to do it.
Okay. So, and once you start doing that, then you're really just becoming open to the ideas and they'll just come to you. Once you're in that frame of mind, you know, more and more ideas will come to you.
Yeah. And like I said, my friend that reviewed the book that called me in a panic because I had completely overwhelmed her. She's easily overwhelmed. It's funny. I've learned, like, give her a certain amount of information and then give her a list of things to do, and that's how she works well. But she knows it, and I know it, so she's moving forward really well. But, you know, I said, look, these are the kinds of things. And I even have a list in the ebook to get your mind going, like, these are the types of things you might want to write a press release about. And she just felt that was so helpful. She's like, oh, my gosh, when you were talking about why to write a press release, I thought of all these things I've done. Like, she had painted a mural for a nursery school. She could have told the press.
Wow.
She, you know, she donated to charity. She's had products, her art on products. She's done lots of things that might have been of interest to different press, but she never thought about it. And so it kind of opened her eyes to, hey, this is kind of cool.
I think that's partially women don't toot their own horns.
Mm-hmm.
And that fits into there. We are really close here. It's really just about 9 o'clock. So before we close, I just want to ask if there was something you wanted to add that we didn't address, or maybe you want to let us know what you're working on otherwise, or let us know what fabric we should be looking for at Quilt Market next month.
Okay. You know, I don't know what's going to be new at Quilt Market. I just had 3 collections come out. They should be in or hitting the stores really soon, so they might be, I'm not sure, they might be at market. I designed for South Sea Imports, and I love them, and I love designing fabric. I just find creating repeat patterns to be one of the most fun things I get to do. My mother thinks I'm crazy because she watched me do it one time, and she's like, I don't know where you came from. But go for it. But I have a coffee collection that's been out for about 2 months called Sip and Savor. Also brand new is a new kind of a country and rooster collection called Welcome to the Roost. It's got roosters with, you know, the tans and the blues and burgundies, and that's a very fun collection, great for kitchen. And then the one I think that's just shipping now is called Caliente, which is lots of bright, fun chili peppers.
Oh, I'm going to look for that one.
Yeah. So those are the three I've gotten most recently. And then, you know, you never know until you actually get the sales sheet. We work on stuff, and we're going to do this. It's always a moving target, what's going to happen, because the companies do a really good job, like, working on a collection and then showing it to the market to see how it's going to be received before we finalize it, so that we can make changes. Sometimes we make color changes. Sometimes they scrap it all together. I remember when, what was that movie, Monsters versus Aliens or something? It was a kids movie, came out a couple summers ago, and so they said, okay, we need you to do an alien collection for us. And I went and watched that movie and wasn't a huge fan, because I think I went the day it came out and there were a zillion kids running around that couldn't even... And so I'm painting these aliens, and then they took it out, and apparently everyone had this brilliant idea. So too many people were coming out with aliens, so they never made it onto fabric. So it's a fascinating process.
Well, all of us who go to market will look for your fabric, and then I'll just interject here that at Quilt Market, the press room does not have press kits from exhibitors. So... if you're thinking about dropping one off up there, they don't have them. But you should have them in your booth in case the press stops by. Otherwise, the press room is great, like you said. Food, place to sit, quiet.
Yep, place to hang your jacket. It's awesome.
We have actually gone over a couple minutes on our hour, and I want to thank Tara Reed again for joining us and just sharing her wealth of knowledge on working with the press and promoting herself. And if you want to learn more about Tara and her book, How to Be a Press-Friendly Artist, and take advantage of the offer that she's made for us, here again is the link to her site, www.pressfriendlyartist.com/quilters. And we'll have this recording on your IAPQ member page by the end of the week, so if you want to re-listen, you can download it. I'll also include the links to her book and also her licensing site. And I'll probably go ahead and put the link on the event page, so in case you didn't write it down, you can go there and look at it, and I'll do that tonight. And I hope you join us next month in the PQ Cafe for a chat with another professional who offer her insight into how to grow your business. And you'll get an announcement prior to the call. And you'll also find details now on our website, www.professionalquilter.com. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Thanks again, Tara, and everybody have a great evening.